password.
You can use mine to get on the internet.
What digits? It's Digi Time again.
Welcome to Podigis, episode T1.3. There's the dub.
Try chapter one dub. Recorded September 15th, 2016. Barely.
Just barely. 30 minutes left. A portion of this will be in September 15th.
We'll be in 2016.
Yeah, it'll be that long. Podigis is your critically nostalgic analytical tour through the Digimon anime. I'm Jeff Ruberg, and today I'm joined by my only other Diginome, Ashton McDonald.
Woo.
Woo. Dub time. So it's just Ashley and I this time because we are recording late at night after we just got back from the tri-dub screening. And it is 2:30 a.m. on the East Coast, so there's no chance that Asher and Andrew would want to join in because they consider 9 p.m. too late.
Yeah, they go to sleep at 9. You guys.
So before we jump in, I just wanted to let everyone know that I want to try something we haven't done in a while, which, so for the past almost maybe a full year, we've been using the Discourse forum in order to get comments on episodes, and I just want to try as an experiment using Discuss again. Discuss was the thing that would just, you didn't need an account in our specific forum. You could sign, you could use a Discuss account or just comment anonymously. So that's going to power the comments for this episode. It's just an experiment for now. Let us know if it's better or worse for commenting. We're not getting rid of the forum, but we might in the future if people like this a lot better. Anyway, so now, jumping in. This week, we're looking at Try Chapter 1, Reunion, again.
An egg gets fertilized by a dark spore. Tai and Mac get divorced because of differing tastes in ramen and compete over custody of their friends. I don't think that... whatever. It's a Digimon movie, so Kari is busy at a birthday party.
Kuagamon cancels Tai's soccer game and chases him around. Tai summons Agumon through the power of plot convenience, and everyone reunites with their Digimon at Haneda Airport. Sorry, at the International Airport. Except Joe, because he's obviously studying.
The kids learn that, surprise, there's a new Digimon threat on the loose, that their totally inconspicuous teacher is a secret agent, and that Joe has a girlfriend. Sucker! Also, Izzy turns his laptop into a Pokeball.
Izzy gives Tai some Yokai Watch goggles, and the kids hang out with Totes Not a Main Character and help her search for Totes Not a Digimon. Tai and Matt have an intimate Ferris wheel ride, and then Alphamon appears to wipe the floor with everyone until they suddenly remember that there are forms above Champion. That should sound familiar to you, because we read that almost a year ago, 10 months ago, when this movie first premiered. So we're going to jump into our general impressions now. I wanted to start off general impressions by just noting, I think you and me, Ashley, I think we might be the only people who have seen this movie in Japan and in America.
That's a big claim.
It's a big claim. Do you think there are that many people that have gone between, maybe there are people who lived in Japan then and then moved to the US, but like it's probably a small number, and they're also Digimon fans, enough to watch it both times? I think it's possible. I'm curious if you are a listener and you have seen it in Japanese theaters and US theaters. We'd love to know if you have heard of someone else doing that. Love to know. It's basically a claim we can never actually verify, but I think it's possible that we're the only ones who've seen this in both theaters.
Please just shoot Jeff down. Just be like, shut up, Jeff. You're wrong.
I don't know if that actually gives us a unique perspective on anything, but it's a cool thing that I want to brag about to myself. But anyway, general impressions. My impression is the movie, still not good, but the awkwardness was much more enjoyable in a native language. What do you think, Ashley?
I disagree. No.
not any more enjoyable?
I think in my native language, like, sure, I laughed more, but that just meant it was just that much more painful. There were definitely moments where I was just like, this is just so bad. I've seen this movie like 5 too many times at this point.
I don't think I've seen it 5 times.
We saw it once.
We saw it once in the airport in subtitled. Then we saw it
in Japan.
In Japan. Then we watched it for the podcast. And this is the 4th time for me.
But we had to get screenshots, so I feel like that was watching it again.
Yeah, I do feel like, especially within a short amount of time, watching the movie over and over has diminishing returns because you just know what to expect. And it's the same jokes and the same parts that I enjoyed, but like not that great to watch over and over again. But anyway, let's refocus our attention on the dub, because that's the important part this time. And I don't think either of us are really ones to go into a detailed casting breakdown and who's returned, who's different, and I mostly am focusing this on what I felt. And so the returning voices I noticed, you know, Ty, Izzy, Sora, Mimi returning, and replaced voices were Matt, TK, Joe, and Kari. What did you think about all those?
All the new people were awkward. All the returning people, I was like, oh, nostalgia. Like, it didn't feel weird that they were supposed to be older and they still had those voices. I was like, I accept that.
I definitely found it, like, hearing Ty's voice initially in the trailers and at the beginning of the movie, I was like, he still sounds really young. But, like, after a couple minutes, it just felt totally natural. Which is also I felt with the new voices. I was like, these don't feel quite right. And I think for the most part, by the, you know, a couple minutes in, it was just like, okay, this is natural now. A couple of them, I think Kari's continued to feel weird. I think because it was, like, too close, maybe. Like, Uncanny Valley close. You know, like, Matt and TK and Joe, I think, were different enough that they...
It was close, but also, like, at times not at all close, and you're like...
That's kind of how Uncanny Valley works. It's, like, so close, they're, like, the differences are more noticeable.
I suppose. As soon as I heard Matt's voice, I was like, no. I don't accept that.
Did that stick throughout the movie?
I mean, throughout the movie, I was like, it's not that bad, and then I was just like, no, I don't accept it.
I mean, I was like, I think Matt has a very distinctive voice. Not that we've watched, I don't think his voice is in, I think his voice is only as Ice Devimon and Tamers. And we're going to get it again in Frontier soon, but I haven't heard it in a while. But as I recall, it's very distinctive.
It wasn't that it lacked the distinction of Matt's voice. It was just like, that particular voice did not strike me as angry enough for Matt.
I actually felt like, it felt weirdly soft and like not masculine. I don't know if that makes sense, but like, then, like, TK's voice sounded deeper to me. And I was like, it feels weird that TK's voice sounds deeper and more mature than Matt's voice. And that was strange. It was especially weird when, like, TK's voice, I think you first hear TK's voice when he's off screen. Like, Kari and TK are talking. And I think you might just see Kari or neither of them. And they're just not on screen. And it's like, is that TK? What? That was my first reaction. But yeah, with both of those, by, like, a couple minutes, I was like, okay, I accept this. It's normal now.
I mean, I did feel that TK and Matt had, if not similar voices, then complementary ones that made me be like, yeah, they seem like brothers.
Oh, interesting. And as far as the returning voices, I think it's fair to say it's actually where I went into the movie, you know, not wanting to be focusing on the casting announcements and minutia of who's back and who isn't everything. So I kind of went in not having it all solidified in my brain. And then afterwards, I was okay, so who came back? I've heard everyone say most of them came back, but the humans is only half. Eight. And that was kind of, once I realized, I was like, huh, that's not really most things. Half is good, but yeah, I think so. So the four returning kids, Ty, Izzy, Sora, Mimi, I think, you know, Ty and Izzy especially have, like, very distinctive voices, and it was like, oh man, like, hearing Izzy's voice the first time too, I was like, oh yeah, you are Izzy. But Mimi, I actually wasn't sure it was the same voice. You disagree?
Yes.
I mean, I don't know what it was. Maybe it's that I haven't heard dub Mimi from the original in a while, but I was like, it felt a little like someone doing a really good impression of that voice. I don't know how to describe that. Okay, so how about the new characters? I mean, the ones that were done were Mako, Daigo, and Maki.
Oh, Daigo's voice, I thought, did not fit him at all.
Yeah, I don't know what I expected, because, like, neither of us, you know, understand Japanese enough to, like, I don't think we're, like, comparing it to the vocal qualities of Daigo, Japanese voice actor, Seiyu, but, like, it just felt wrong. It just felt, like,
his personality is that he's silly, and in Japanese, I feel like that is conveyed even if I don't understand Japanese, whereas this just seemed like he was a very serious man who dressed in silly shirts, and you don't really know why.
I think the voice direction with Daigo in particular may not have been stellar. Like, there's one, I don't know how this was, you know, in the Japanese voice, but the one scene where, like, Tai's eating his donut and he has tears in his eye, like, he has tears in the corner of his eyes, like he's making, like, really pained expression, but it was delivered like there was no joking pain in it at all. It was just
there was no joke to that scene. It was just kind of like, it's not mine anymore, I guess. But he said it in like a super deep, like, rawr voice.
Yeah. Like, I mean, that image I like because it's like, it seems so absurd for him to be like, I'm crying over you eating my donut. But like, it was delivered and did not come across at all.
Isn't it a cinnamon bun?
Oh, I guess so. I've been thinking of it as a donut. Anyway, but yeah, I mean, and that seems like something that is very possible that could have been missed, that detail. So I wrote it off as that, but I feel like it kind of sticks throughout Daigo. Anyway, all the Digimon we didn't really mention up to this point. Digimon all sounded great. I didn't really notice any Digimon that sounded off. I think Gabumon probably wasn't the same, but it wasn't that. It was like...
Gabumon definitely sounded off. I don't know that it wasn't the same,
though. Yeah, not sure about that. The one thing I noted here, though, was when Gabumon digivolves to Gurumon, that first reading of Gurumon was like, Gurumon! Like, it was really excited.
I was like, oh, what's happening?
I mean, I don't think it was bad. It was like, I was like, I just chuckled. I was like, oh, that's really excited. Gurumon! Let's digivolve! more general impression stuff. The big thing we got out of this seeing in theaters was the audience reaction. And like I said before, we saw it in Japanese theaters, but Japanese movie theater audiences are kind of notorious for not, I guess, being super polite, not reacting in any way. I think the one time when there was an audible reaction from the audience in Japanese was the Joe girlfriend moment.
Yes.
I can't remember at what point, if it was the reveal of Joe's girlfriend, if it was the faces directly after. Because definitely this time, it wasn't the reveal of the Joe. There was some reaction for the reveal of Joe's girlfriend, but it was mostly the faces afterwards. Set people
off.
Yeah,
the like, yeah, we believe you.
Yeah. Actually, I don't think it was the faces. Something that we were able to catch on to this time, you know, it being our native language, was that I think it was the awkward silences that made the audience react a lot more at the time. There were a lot of awkward silences.
Yeah.
That's part of what I enjoyed about this time much more than listening to, because I was just like, this just feels off originally. And I was like, this just feels off.
No.
And everyone's laughing about it.
But genuinely, I was like, I don't remember it coming off that awkward in Japanese. Like, I remember it being slightly awkward, but it just seemed so much more awkward when it was like, I understand this language. I understand how dramatic moments are supposed to work here.
Like how pacing, it's like everything was like just too, there was like an extra beat or two that was like, why are you holding on this for so much longer than it should be?
Yeah.
And yeah, I think there was one moment that I was like, I don't remember this being quite so long in Japanese. I don't know if that's actually true or not, or if that's just perception.
I mean, that's so hard for me to square with, like, they definitely added dialogue to certain scenes.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, there had to be more dialogue in this movie, yet the awkward silences and stuff come off so much. Maybe, like, that's why. It's because, like, they fill up random places.
But it definitely wasn't, just to be clear, like, we're not talking about the kind of filling in every moment of silence that the original dubs are known for. It was more just, like, it's kind of filling in silences that if you compare a script, compare scene by scene with the Japanese version, you will probably find a decent number of them. But none of them felt like the kind of inserting lines in every moment of silence from the Fox Kids dubs that we're used to.
Simple explanation for this, Jeffrey, and it's like in scenes where there are background characters that did not talk before, they added dialogue to those.
See, I'm not sure about that. I think they may have been murmuring in Japanese and we just didn't catch on to it and it was never subtitled. And we were just like, whatever. I'm not 100% sure about that.
Maybe not in every scene that I'm thinking of, but I'm pretty sure in, like...
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Okay, the specific thing that I'm thinking of is when Tai comes out to text Sora, like he's going to his soccer game and he has the bike and he just finished texting Sora and then the movers are like,
yeah,
can you get around this? And it's like, all right, that's just a really failed joke, right? Like, that's either they didn't say anything or they changed that line of dialogue to make it not make any sense.
I think it didn't make a lot of sense if you're looking at the geography, but I think if you're not looking at the true detail, it's like, okay, yeah, there's a truck and he pauses and they're not sure why he's pausing. And he's pausing because he's looking at Mako, but they don't know that. Anyway, I don't know. I think that was them trying to clarify things and make things a little bit less awkward, actually. But what I was trying to say before is just that, like, it's not the kind of lines inserted that you feel like, wow, there have been tons of lines inserted. It's the kind of thing, like, if you're comparing from memory or from one-to-one, you can notice, but not, doesn't feel full of those lines. The last thing I noted from our audience in particular was one, I don't even know if heckler might not be the right word, but, like, they were basically... I don't know if this is like a universal experience, people who have been in anime club, but the anime club that Ashley and I were in high school definitely had this. The one person who felt the need to add commentary very loudly. And anyway, this guy in the movie theater would basically, the key moments I remember were when Agumon appears, when the Digimon are all lined up after Greymon digivolves, and there's one other one. But he basically, like, Agumon appears and he's like, well, that was convenient, really loudly. And I think the first time, everyone's like, okay. Second time, I think the third time, there are people like...
Yeah, by the all the kids show up and you shout at the same thing, everybody was just like, shut up!
So I don't think they were saying shut up, I think they were saying like... I heard definitely one person was like, you're so funny, sarcastically.
No, I definitely heard somebody say shut up.
Yeah, it was frustrating, and I'm curious if other audiences had similar kind of things. This is kind of frustrating because, like, yeah, audience participation could be fun, but it was one person, and that just made it frustrating. I have sympathy for... I don't know. Sometimes people do that because they are not capable of reading how everyone else feels about that kind of thing. And it's frustrating, but I don't want to just like completely vilify them. Like, they're terrible people. They are obnoxious, but like, understand how that obnoxiousness forms. Anyway, maybe that was experienced people.
No, they're the type of people that give anime a bad name.
Yeah. There are a lot of anime podcasts that are predicated on that kind of personality, where it's like all or most of the hosts are the type that want to interject with the thing that they think is so funny. It's like, oh, you're saying something poignant, but like, no, I didn't say this funny thing. It's so funny. Haha, you all liked it. It's so funny, right? I'm just like, just trying to prove that they're funny. I'm like,
I mean, what bothered me about this dude in particular was, I think by the end, it became clear that they had not watched the subbed version at all.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I would have guessed, based on interjecting those moments, that he had that prepared and was ready to say those things.
I mean, they're very simple moments.
Sure, but he responded really quickly each time. Maybe it was just responded so vividly because he was like, oh, yeah, that surprised me, and that's silly convenient. Maybe he responded because they were so new to him. I don't know. Any other general impressions?
The movie is bad. You guys, we should come to terms with this a year later.
My take on that would be, it's not a good movie. I wouldn't say it's a bad movie. I say it's not a good movie. It's an enjoyable movie to fans.
No, I was like, you know, maybe that time I had to watch this movie three times, maybe that was just a bad, you know, that's too many times. Like, it's probably better than I remember. Oh, that's a lie. It's a lie to myself.
Oh, the other thing that I guess we should mention about, like, comparing the... I don't know what it is, but... I definitely felt like the I don't know what you call it, like the video quality, the picture quality, the animation just looked worse compared to what I remember of Japan when we saw it in a Japanese theater. I don't know how that could even be, because it wasn't like, oh, we see pixels. You know, it wasn't like, oh, it's pixelated, it's a lower res version. It wasn't like there was compression artifacts or anything like that. I don't know how it could be. It's just lining up my memories. I remember at that time being like, this looked really pretty. I can't understand what they're saying, but it looks pretty. I feel like I had to, listening in Japanese, I should have paid attention to the animation more because I couldn't understand what they're saying. But I don't know, did you notice a difference in quality?
I did not. Mostly what I remember from watching it in Japanese was that the audio was very, very loud in that theater we went to.
Which is also the case here.
Only in certain moments, though.
Yeah, it seemed like it was mixed weirdly. There was, especially the whistle in the very beginning.
Oh my god, the whistle was awful!
Oh my god, who's arresting us?
It's literally awful.
I mean, I'm wondering maybe if it was because when we saw it in Japanese theater, we'd only seen it once before. I didn't know. Like, by now, I have seen it multiple times. I've seen screenshots over and over. I've poured over screenshots for various different things. And I just know the scenes in and out. So I was able to, like, you know, notice when the audio, the animation quality goes markedly? The animation quality goes really downhill as soon as the characters are not, like, up close. Like, as soon as they go into the background a little bit, it's just like, oh, you... barely drew them. And
I mean, even when they are up close, sometimes you're like, that's not what you look like, Garman.
See, so that's what I remember of, like, in Japanese theater, was like everything was super clean lines. The proportions and the shapes were kind of wrong, but like everything was super clean. This time I was like, nothing even looks clean. It occasionally looks clean, but like, I don't know how to describe that clean feeling, but it may have just been that I was like, I'm in Japan, everything's amazing. That's very possible.
We were also super sleepy, though.
I don't know. I don't really remember. I've never been to Japan. I made it up. So now we're going to talk about the extras. The Fathom Events extra stuff that was shown with the dub. I'm guessing this might be the only time anyone was able to actually see these. I don't know if these will ever be posted in any other form. Presumably when the physical release comes out, or however this dub is distributed, it probably won't have this stuff in it. So I figured people who haven't seen it are probably curious, and people who have seen it probably want to commiserate. So there are three main things. Before the movie, and I forget how long each segment was, but before the movie there was a preamble thing from Loot Anime, which is mostly a woman basically describing a list of... I think she described it as Loot Anime's five favorite Digimon.
Yes.
Anyway, we'll get into that. We'll get into each of these in more detail. But there was that segment. And then after the show, after the movie, there was a bunch of people left during the credits because they didn't realize they were selling after the credits. But then there was the, you know, after credits thing from the actual movie, the thing where Matt walks away from Tai and Sora or whatever. And then there was the Crunchyroll post-show thing, which was Miles Thomas and another brand. So Miles Thomas is a brand manager at Crunchyroll, and then another brand manager, I forget her name, Tiffany something, I think. Not sure if that's the right name. Basically talking about the movie and about Digimon, their love of Digimon in general. And then they also showed the winners of a contest they ran several months back. I think it was around the time that Chapter 2 came out, which was send us a video about why you are such a big Digimon fan. And I actually heard stories about how they didn't send the prizes for several months after they announced the winners. And I was like, oh, that doesn't sound great. But anyway, it seems like this was the final end goal of it. They showed those videos on the big screen. And then after that, they did a preview of Chapter 3, which was like the first 10 minutes of the movie. And it was 10 minutes?
Five.
Oh, okay. I read before our movie started, that it was 10 minutes. I was like, this is long, but...
It definitely did not feel 10 minutes long.
I'm frustrated about that. A lot of people are frustrated about that. We'll get into it later and why people will be frustrated about seeing something that is a good thing that they showed us. Anyway, so now getting to the segments. First off, the loot anime preamble. This was such a weird segment because it was basically they listed the loot anime's quote-unquote five favorite Digimon, which were going from lowest to highest. Leomon, Vimon, Gatumon, Poromon, which I don't even remember the name of, was Hakumon's in-training form, and Metal Garurumon. And it's just such a random list.
This list was garbage.
The thing is, it feels very much like a single person's personal, very personal list. Very personal preferences, which is cool, I guess, to have. But it was presented as if it was like, we as loot anime as a whole have come together to make this list. And I was like, huh? Like, we don't have any reason to care about the, you know, personal ranking of... It wasn't in a way that was like, we've made a ranking to reward the fan favorites that we know you're going to love. You know, in a way that like feels kind of vacuous, but it's like, yeah, these are the top five popular ones. And you're all going to be like, yeah, Omnimon, yeah, Wargreymon. Yeah, I don't know. I can't think of off the top of my head, but you know, like those kind of things that they know are guaranteed audience they're going to react for, which seems like the logical thing they wanted to do, so they should have done. Anyway, the other thing is in listing Vimon, I think they gave a little bit of reason for each one of them. And for Vimon, she described as Vimon's so cool because it digivolves into Magnemon X, which is a royal knight in Digimon Frontier, which is just so, I mean, it does digivolve into Magnemon with the whatever, Digi-Egg of whatever. And in the X Evolution movie, there is the X variant, which is Magnemon X. And Magnemon is a royal knight in that movie, but it's not where the royal knights in Frontier, but there are royal knights in Frontier. There's only two of them. It was just a weird, like, it felt like they googled Vimon and like, oh yeah, it digivolves to Magnemon X. That's cool. Magnemon X, that's a royal knight. Royal knight, that's in Frontier. Cool. Let's just put it in a script. And I don't know how many fans in the audience actually like know Digimon inside and out to know that, but it definitely came off vacuous to me.
I also was like, why did they pick a picture of Gatumon without her tail ring? Like, it was so weird.
I mean, they probably found the first one that came up. I don't know. And if you like haven't been thinking of Gatumon a lot lately, you probably forget that there's another one which has a tail ring.
But isn't the tail ring the default one? Like,
I don't know. Depends how you Google image search, actually.
Jesus.
It was also just weird to start off that way. Like, it was just a weird introduction. And I actually tweeted about this, but like, sitting down in the theater was cool hearing people talk about Digimon. Just like hearing discussions about like, oh, I watched the original Japanese, or like, I like Frontier, or that kind of discussion. I was like, I never, not used to hearing this. But then like, as soon as there was a person on the big screen talking, like just mentioning the word Digimon, I immediately like went back to being like 10 years old and being like, Digimon, this is like a thing I should be embarrassed about. Like, I don't know what it was, but I was just like, you're like a grown adult saying the word Digimon, which is super bizarre because we are on a podcast now talking about Digimon way more in depth, way more nerdy, way more geeky and ridiculable than that. But for some reason, I don't know, I still like embarrassed by Digimon, but whatever. And in general, I don't think we're really fans of Loot Crate. It was cool that they funded this in some way, helped make it happen, and they, you know, promoted Digimon stuff for the last crate. But like, yeah, the stuff that was in it was not good. And it seems like everyone who got it is like not happy about it. And yeah, their business model seems to be predicated on that. And that doesn't seem great.
Don't give in to the FOMO.
So the next thing, the Crunchyroll post show, was basically a huge mess. So basically, it was, like I said, Miles Thomas and Tiffany Crunchyroll talking about why they love Digimon. They show the winners of the video contest. And then they said that chapters 1 and 2 on Crunchyroll. And then say there's a trailer of chapter 3. And then the first 5 minutes of chapter 3 start. So before we get into, like, criticism, I just want to say that I don't blame the individuals. I don't blame the people of Crunchyroll for making it. I imagine it was incredibly difficult to coordinate this between all the different companies, between Toei, 11 Arts, Loot Crate. I don't know, like, all the different companies that must have been involved in making the segment. It was also probably expensive to coordinate. Like, just the time required to get everyone on the same page was probably not worth the investment for producing the best segment possible. But anyway, so the things that are wrong with it, they started their segment and they were just talking about the movie, talking about why they like Digimon, and there was no reason why they weren't like, and here's why we're talking about why we love Digimon. They were just like, we're just talking about why we like Digimon. And a bunch of people just left because they didn't give any reason to stay. It was kind of like talking heads in a like totally candid, and I don't blame them for being candid. I understand it's like really tough to make a video like that, but a bunch of people were like, this doesn't seem interesting, and left. They should have just started off by being like, okay, if you stay to the end, you're going to have a teaser. But no one was interested in saying because they didn't present what was there. And then, so when they describe, they basically say, like, they make a pitch and like, chapters 1 and 2 are on Crunchyroll if you want to keep watching. They don't explain that it's like, the sub is on Crunchyroll. I guess there's a possibility that they didn't explain that because they eventually had the dub, but there's no dub of chapter 2. And they basically were saying, like, if you want to keep watching, chapter 2 is on Crunchyroll. But they don't explain, like, the sub. Like, I imagine the people who were like, wait, why am I in the theater if it's already out on Crunchyroll? Like, what? I'm confused. And I think they just made it more confusing.
I'm okay with everything that they did. I'm not okay with, like, the fact that it goes from, you're watching Try Chapter 1 dubbed. We're going to put an ad for, you can watch Try Chapter 1 and 2 subbed. And, like, to me, it was clear that people had not seen Chapter 2.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they were just watching this dub. And then they're like, hey, we're going to show you a preview of Chapter 3. And you're just like, what?
Right, and the introduction for Chapter 3 was super jarring. Because they were like, yeah, watch chapter 1 and 2, and now here's a trailer for chapter 3. Like, it sounded like, I don't remember exactly how it was worded, but like it sounded like they meant to say 2 and accidentally said 3. You know, like, it sounded like, okay, here's a trailer for the thing that you should go check out on our site, the full version of. But instead it was like, and chapter 3, and a bunch of people stuck around to watch it, and we're gonna eventually get into, like, spoilers about that, but we're not gonna spoil it now. But basically, it starts off with, like, a text scroll of events of the second movie, which just, like, people who did not want to know about that were just like, oh, okay, what? And it just feels like, you know, like, transitioning from the complexity of, like, chapter 1, also you can watch chapter 2 subbed, and here's a trailer for chapter 3, which is coming out soon, all could have been communicated, but it was just a mess of, like, I don't know, there's just a bunch of different stuff here, and have it. And, yeah, again, I don't really, like, the people at Crunchyroll are good people. They're smart. They're passionate fans too. What Crunchyroll has done for the Digimon fandom is great. Simulcasting Try is more than we ever could have hoped for. And showing a preview of Chapter 3 in theaters across the U.S., it was probably the same trailer shown in Japan, but like just doing that and making it accessible to a U.S. audience, subtitled, is great. But it just kind of sucks that this video was presented so poorly. The segment was presented so poorly. Without going into spoilers of the chapter 3 preview, which we'll get into later, just like general stuff about that preview, they, in describing it, the Crunchyroll people described it as chapter 3, confessions, which is different than I've seen anyone else translate. I mean, the Japanese word kokuhaku, probably important context is that's the word. It's not just, it literally means confession, but it's also the word used to be like a love confession. Like, that's how in this kind of high school culture, high school Japanese anime culture, you ask someone out is by like giving them a love letter and being like, this is the kokuhaku. Anyway, I guess we kind of assume there will be multiple confessions because it's about multiple, like the poster has Takeru and Koshiro, not just one of them. So we were like, both of them probably have confessions of some sort.
Do they confess their love to each other?
Yeah, that's probably it.
Yeah.
But anyway, it was interesting. I don't know if that's actually going to be the official title going forward, but probably, I don't know, given the other inevitable sloppiness of the rest of the trailer, maybe it wasn't finalized yet. I didn't want to see this trailer.
That's why I was so confused why we stayed, because I was like, wait, Jeff, don't you not want to see this?
I was kind of like, since this has been opened up, and now everyone who's seen this movie has probably seen this trailer now, I was like, I guess I need to see it, but, because we knew it was coming, right? We had read on social media, and there was an hour between it finished airing on the East Coast, and our showing started on the West Coast, and I still wanted to experience it because I wanted to get the full, I don't know, maybe there was something else, like another segment at the end after the preview, but as I've stated a couple times, I think watching these first X minutes of the movie really just causes me to be very bummed watching, like waking up early to watch the movie the day it comes out, whatever, because it's like, get really hyped to watch it, and then you're watching something you've already seen a couple days ago or a couple weeks ago.
So just skip that part.
But then you're not getting like the That's weird. I wouldn't want to do that. That's breaking up the experience. That's weird, actually. And I think the big problem with it being, like, spoiling people, because you could be like, okay, so they put the text on screen that summarizes chapter two and spoils people. Why did they look? Shouldn't they have just, like, as soon as they saw it was chapter two, they just left? I think it was just confusing, especially since they worded it in the video segment as a trailer. It was not a trailer. It was just the first 5 minutes, you know, like, a trailer much less spoilerful than, like, here's a plot dump of the second movie. I think people read it even though they were annoyed about it because they were just confused with the song. First in-depth topic about the dub. I labeled this big choices. These are the kind of things that we wondered about how they were going to handle. And in general, I've been like participating in some speculation in the past couple days in getting hype for this premiere, because it's just like the challenge they have doing the dub is like really I mean, there's a whole wide range of potential audiences, and we had no idea who they were going to make the dub for. You know, like if they made it exactly like the Fox Kids days, then that would upset people who wanted a more literal, pure, you know, adaptation of the Japanese version. If they made it just like that, then it would alienate people who wanted something that was like the humor of the old days. It seemed like no matter what they do, they would upset some people, and people wouldn't be happy. People would be alienated, whatever. So I was really curious how they're going to handle it. I was worried they would try to do some like failed Chimera mixed approach, doing, you know, like a little bit of the Fox Kids humor, but not messing up, but not trying to change things too much in a way that would just completely fall on its head.
Is that not what happened?
I don't think so. I mean, I don't think they really, you know, added a bunch of humor. I think there was added humor, but I think it was about the same kind of humor that was in the original. You know, it wasn't like the kind of humor that was added in the old days was like a very different kind of humor that was in the original. This was like some jokes were different, but I thought it was very close. You thought it was not close?
I mean, I guess if we're talking like humor specifically, I still think that they tried to cram it through extra dialogue, extra cheap jokes. I think they tried to have the tone of like when Kari's like, did you see the news report? And then they're like, go back to the TV. And the reporter's like, okay, yeah, these giant monsters have attacked us, but now they're going, like, the weather today is supposed to be great. I don't remember that being a thing in Japanese. Like, I think it's just straight up.
I think the thing that's, like, very delivery specific, I wouldn't regard that something we wouldn't pick up on. And, you know, if it's just text that says the same exact thing.
I also refuse to try to, like, I see that music is a separate segment, but I refuse to believe that, like, them doing this, the really awful remix of the Digirap in the beginning is not them trying to, but then otherwise keeping the diegetic music that was in the original.
That's not what diegetic means, actually.
Whatever.
Diegetic means that it's like
freaking midnight.
Diegetic means that it's like music that also
yeah,
played
I know
in the
what
world.
It means.
Okay. just the score. Yeah, so I did have music as a segment, but I mean, we can just transition to that. I think that's the one area where they really just were like, we're going to put one thing in this movie that like a lot of people are going to be like, this is terrible, but
oh,
we're going to make it
because it is terrible.
Sure. I mostly agree, but we're going to try to make it similar to a thing from the old version that people will relate to. I kind of, my main critique with that, if you're willing to alienate some portion of the audience with a crappy, you know, throwback song, I think it would have been a much better fit to have it as the ending song. And Kate Butterfly, I can see how that would be alien to people who don't know Butterfly, but it's one of the consistently most popular anime songs in the past several decades in Japan. Well, I don't know if it's several decades, but like in the past couple of decades. And like, clearly there's something that anime fans like. I get that like the audience for the dub like this in America is different than anime fans in Japan. But like there's a high probability that people who have never heard the song Butterfly will like it when they hear it the first time. And I think most people agree that, is it I Wish? I can't remember which one is the ending song.
Uh-oh.
I just think it's not as loved as Butterfly. And I also think the lyrics of like, and the tone of Digimon Back In works. I mean, it wouldn't work super well at the end of this, like, it ends on a somber note of, like, we won, but kind of, was it really worth it in the end? And it would have been weird to be like, Digimon are back again, woo! But, like, but I feel like that is a more fitting tone to end the movie on than, like...
I mean, the beginning of the movie also didn't fit the tone of the song at all.
It's super jarring in there. I guess it fits the mood of the audience who is excited to see Digimon, but it's also super weird because it's, like, it ends on a note, yeah, like, saying the line, Digimon are back again, when no one in the movie has seen a Digimon and doesn't for a while... It's just like, the Digimon aren't back again yet. Like, what are you talking about?
I mean, they could have done this song. Like, fine. You want to make a silly digi rap to replace Butterfly? Fine. I'm just the quality of it is just so, so low. Like, they throw in random, like, scratch noises, and you're like, did you just play, like, did you just take a sample that you, free sample that you can find on the internet and just, like, overlay the scratch noises over this part? And, you know, there's no, like, I don't like seeing your face because...
We're recording in a new setup, or we're trying a new setup where we can actually see each other, and I was making skeptical faces throughout this description.
Why are you skeptical?
Because I just like, oh, this is bad quality. It seems like you're like, well, here you're like listing objective, like you're trying to list objective reasons, like, well, because they these scratch noises, that means it's a bad song.
No, because the scratch noises are cheap sounding, like they don't sound like they, like they sound super generic. You know, the DigiRap has full verses. That seems like somebody put in creative effort to actually rap things. This is just like, has barely any lyrics that they put no thought into. They're just like, whatever.
I don't know. I think the thing that really rubs people the wrong way, or dubs people the wrong way. We spent like 20 minutes trying to brainstorm a pun by looking up all the words that rhyme with dub and all the idioms that involve those words. So anyway, I think it rubs people the wrong way, because not because of the like scratch noises sounding cheap or the lack of a of like complex lyrics. I think it's just the tone, that's the cheesiness, the like Digimon, Digidome, like it's like, it's not like, I feel like the things that
it's much darker than the original sort of songs that it's going for, which it didn't fit me.
I don't know. We can all agree we don't like it.
What disappoints me is that there are moments in it where I'm like, this sounds like it could become a cool song, and then it just never does. It's just
but yeah, so other music things aside from that opening song, all the other music is intact in the movie, which was actually kind of something I was looking forward to, them changing up the, I guess, like, I understand that goes into a really tricky territory of like adding, you know, weird creative decision making to, it complexes the whole localization thing if they were going to change some music and all of it instead of flopping it all out. But the music, I remember being one of the worst parts. There are definitely good tracks, good score moments in the movie, but there are so many where it's just like falls flat. And I feel like I was able to better parse seeing it in English and, you know, understand what they're saying, not having read subtitles, why they fell flat. And I also kind of informed by a recent video from Every Frame of Painting YouTube series that is talking about the score used in all the Marvel Cinematic Universe movies, and how they are very bland and people don't remember the music from those movies. And one of the things it argues is that that YouTube video argues is that they don't stick with people because the music just follows the obvious emotion. When it's a humorous scene, there's humorous music playing. When it's a emotional scene, there's just like, you know, I don't remember the components of the music, but it's like very like the high note strings when this kind of thing is happening. Anyway, it doesn't really add to the emotion you're supposed to feel, except for rare instances. And that's why I feel like this movie, like instead of the music ever being used to lead the emotion of a scene, it was almost always following the emotion of a scene. And what made that stumble often was that it felt like it was following poorly. It felt like it was trying to reflect the emotion you're supposed to feel from the other indicators, but just failing. Like when Tai's being chased by Quagamon, there's like at parts it's just silent in a creepy way, but it's like clearly not supposed to be like, oh, and it's just, it's like Quagamon's being loud and attacking things, but there's no music for some reason. And at other points, there is really dramatic music, and it just feels like it was mixed weirdly instead of being purposeful. But that's really not too different. You know, like all that music is still used the same way. It's just more obvious.
I mean, I guess the one part that stands out to me was at the end where everybody in theater laughed because it was like,
oh yeah, it's the moment where like Tai is wavering and Matt is like reassures him and they hold hands and whatever, and then they're like, yes, I will fight.
Yes, that's the moment. And then the music cuts out and you think like something super super dramatic is going to happen, and then they just like continue talking. And you're like, what?
No, I don't think it's that. I think it's that it's like the music is building to this moment and then it cuts out and you expect it to be like, cuts out and like a beat later, there'll be some like, they'll say something or other dramatic music will swell in, and it just like goes like two extra beats. It's just like cuts out and they just stare at each other. And then though, I think it's the like instrumental Braveheart music starts playing, but it's just like, there's just a really awkward pause. And yeah, the whole audience was just laughed. Cause like, it's like that one of the most, I think it's probably, yeah, I think it's the most dramatic scene in the movie. And the audience just laughs cause the music is so poorly placed. And they definitely wasn't something we experienced in Japanese theater, because I don't think they would laugh.
We're at something. Very silent in Japanese.
Yeah.
We chuckled at Joe.
And it was definitely something we didn't pick up on in the sub, because we were just like, this is awkward, not like, this is so bad, it's funny. I'm also curious, you know, like, his things that were so bad, they were funny. I wonder / worry that they were only funny because we were in an audience of people also laughing at them. On my own, watching on my TV with no one else in the room, I kind of doubt that I would just laugh in a moment like that. I'd probably just be like, this is bad.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely been my experience going to see the Hunger Games with super intense audiences at midnight showings was always that my feelings watching it with them and being influenced by their louder reactions definitely changed my viewing. And then when I watched it by myself, I was like, whatever, it's just a moment.
So the last big choice they had in the dubbing I wrote down was Odaiba, which is not a word you overhear in this dub, which, you know, sticks with, they never said it in the original English dub. I think I forget the exact wording, but I think they mostly called it the waterfront district or the waterfront shopping area, I think were the phrases they used. Like, we need to evacuate the waterfront district or the...
There was one point where there was just, the international air... there's some way that they referred to the airport that I was like, you say the airport on a broadcast.
That's a different topic, actually. But yes, Haneda Airport. They never say the word Haneda Airport. They say the international airport. That definitely skirting the line of, I guess if you were in a city that had an international airport and a domestic airport, you could just shorthand refer to the international one and the domestic one without their names. You could.
So
it would be awkward, and it was awkward here. And it's especially awkward because in the Japanese version, Haneda Airport is not the international airport. It's the domestic airport with a couple international flights, which bothered me, but probably doesn't bother anyone else, and I shouldn't worry about it. But it only bothers me because I had, what's the word for a far-fetched theory about it being some metaphor for the digital stuff, you know, crippling them, their local interactions, but not their broad foreign interactions. And now they switched it in the dub. But that was always a far-fetched theory. That was a far-fetched theory anyway. Anyway, Odaiba being referred to as a waterfront district, I guess most of you probably don't consider that a big, big thing. I guess it's new for them to even refer to it as a, waterfront district is a good choice. That's a really smart thing for them to call it if they are really set on not, whoever came up with that terminology is smart. If their guideline is they don't want to say Odaiba to confuse people who don't understand Tokyo. I can understand it's confusing to be they live in Tokyo, but then there's this thing called Odaiba. And that confused me too for a while, that how Tokyo is such a big city that basically the districts in it are city size or kind of are their own cities. In some classifications, things like Shinjuku is a city, Shibuya is a city, and Tokyo is a city of cities. Kind of. Odaiba is not quite as big as those, really, but it definitely is weird. And Odaiba, I think even, I forget what the classification is, what type of locality it is, if it's a, I don't think it is a district, because I think there's Odaiba and there's Daiba. And then, anyway, I forget that distinction, but I think colloquially they all just say Odaiba. But they might just say Daiba. Anyway, but the thing that bothers me about it is just how much Odaiba has a special meaning in the fandom community, that basically every level of Digimon fan who participates in an online community refers to August 1st as Odaiba Day, and
I am not going to get nitpicky about this. I feel like it's a win for them to just not make up the Japanese city that they're in or whatever.
They would never make up. What they would do if it was the original dub was just say the city or downtown.
They changed it to Heightened View Terrace or whatever.
And they did keep that. They referred to the Heightened View Terrace incident.
You know, what bothered me the most about whether they wanted to pretend it was Japan or how much Japanese they wanted it to be was that they didn't change any of the text in the movie, so it was all in Japanese.
Yeah.
And the one scene that is really, kind of actually matters is when Tai is typing on his cell phone to Sora, and, he deletes something, and you're just like, well, but wait, what part did he actually delete? Because I don't think he was even, I don't think the dub was saying exactly, I don't think it was correctly saying what he was typing, so then...
Well, correctly, literal. I mean, most people, they assume can't read the Japanese to know that it's different.
Right, but then when you delete it, and that's a dramatic moment, yeah. It's like, what?
I guess to frame it as another one of these big choices, they never put up English text. They first of all never put up subtitle text, showing that it's a different thing in English. And they never replace text with English text. So there are a couple of moments where that is clear, and the cell phone one was one of the most prominent ones, because what they do instead, if you're talking about the Japanese one, I don't think there's any dialogue in that. You just see him typing, and you see him deleting, and you get everything that's going on. But to get that across without putting in English text, they have Tai read what he's saying. So yeah, if you're not really familiar, he deletes something, so if he's just speaking out loud, you don't know what he deleted from his just paragraph he just read, you know, like.
Well, I think it's like you assume that he deletes the last part, but then I think in what he said in English, that didn't exactly make perfect sense. Like, yeah, it wouldn't have made the message make any sense.
Right, I mean, what is the sentence ender in Japanese and the sentence ender in English? So that would make sense to delete a certain part in Japanese and not in English. I think even though, like, okay, both of us haven't understood Japanese, you were probably looking at it and, like, trying to parse, like, if you said des or watashi or whatever, things like that. But, like, I think even someone who doesn't know any Japanese would see that he's deleting stuff and be confused. That he's clearly typing and deleting and just be like, that's weird for him just to be saying, like, he's reading a thing. Aside from that moment, I think the decision to have people read things is jarring there. I think it mostly worked in other situations. The first time I think it was really noticeable was when Daigo is doing his calligraphy and showing, like, I don't think there's any explanation needed in Japanese. I think the subtitles do put something, but basically Taichi says stuff, and then Daigo holds up calligraphy that is his response to what Taichi's saying. And I think Crunchyroll subtitled those. I'm not 100% sure, I don't know. But in English, they had to have him, like, announce what he was holding up.
Whereas in Japanese, he just, like, responded.
No, he would hold up and then say something else. But, like Taichi's talking about how he wants to be friends with, I forget exactly what he holds up there. I think it might be, like, international relations, the two kanji he holds up. And the second one is dream. He doesn't, like, explain, and that's why your dreams or whatever. He's just, like, he's talking about dreams and he holds up the dream kanji. You know, like, I don't remember him actually needing to explain it or anything. I don't quite remember the dialogue was, but I don't know. It was, like, I feel like it mostly worked for the Daigo scene. And the last instance of not replacing any text that was really weird that I remember was the screen that Maki has. Did they even call her Maki at all in the movie?
This is what I was confused. I was like, do they say all of their names at any point?
Did they say Himekawa even? They definitely say Nishijima a lot. They did
say Nishijima.
Mr. Nishijima. But I don't remember if they mentioned Himekawa or Maki by name. But anyway, her screen of the Digidestined, all the names are still their Japanese names. I mean, they're written in English characters. But, like,
yeah, but it said, like, Koshiro prominently.
Which that is in the English canon, in the English dub canon, is his name. Remember? Izzy is his nickname, his last name.
But nobody knows that.
So I guess that's not a plot hole quite, but were there any other times when they had to read things to, the text was Japanese? I can't remember. And even in the original Adventure US dub, there were times when there was Japanese text that was not translated, and you'd be like, they're at Heightened View Terror Station, and there's kanji that says Hikarigaoka or something like that. But, like, that was always, like, in the background, and it was never prominent. Like,
sure, but this is, like, art. Clearly the text is important.
Like, and it does feel weird. I mean, I don't think either of us is too familiar with, we don't really watch anime dubs for the past several years. It might just be, like, that's like a taboo thing to do, to mess up. To mess up the text.
I guess, but if I was going off of manga, like, sure, now the trend is you don't want to mess up the background things, but you put a subtitle next to it for the important ones.
Now we're going to move into just listing memorable moments, things that stood out that I think are worthy of pointing out to people who haven't seen it, and just discussing people who have.
Prodigious!
That's, like, the last thing. I have a chronological list, Ashley. We'll get to that. So first off, was Demiurge an idea?
Oh, right. Narrator was best character.
We obviously can't compare the, like, paragraphs to each other, but I found this much more confusing than I remember finding the thing in Japanese.
I think
they changed the meaning.
I think they changed it, yeah. I think they brought in a soul. Was soul in it before? I think it just was idea and dirty.
I can't see this thing. It's, like, such a convoluted mess anyway. But I remember getting... I'm pretty sure that the way this started off was saying something like, Demiurge was idea or something. And then I think later in the monologue said that Demiurge doesn't know about idea. I'm like, wait, but didn't you say Demiurge was the idea? This is so confusing. And I mean, I guess it doesn't really make it sound like it's going to inform our understanding of this whole Demiurge and idea thing, because it's probably, if it diverges in any meaningful way, that's just not the canon. Like, it doesn't necessarily shed light on it. It just is a different interpretation that might not line up later on. The other thing I thought the narrative voice was, like, it was, like, so serious.
It was super serious. Why it was
great. Especially since, like, in the context of the people we heard talking about the movie before the movie started, where, like, this one woman who was dragging along some friend who, I don't know, they seemed older, but they were like, I don't know what Ainz Digimon stuff is. I'm trying to look up this movie on IMDb or something, and, like, couldn't find it. And they're like, is it Digimon the movie? Like, no, it's not Digimon the movie. Is it Digimon Bokura? like, because they found, like, Bakura in a war game, I guess. Or, like, anyway, they were just like, and they're like, no, it says Digimon Adventure Try on the screen. She's like, I can't find, anyway. So I was just imagining this person who had no idea Digimon listening to this and be like, what is this silly thing? Moving on, Tai is not lusty anymore. There was no, I don't even remember how they translate. I think it was just like, I don't remember exactly how they translate, but there was no awkwardness with that. There was no knife of ramen. That was disappointing.
That was the tragic part of this movie.
So it was something tragic because we took a picture of us eating ramen beforehand.
It's kind of like one of the few jokes that you actually remember. Matt and Lusty, and then neither of them was there. And just
Which, I mean, again, neither of us really likes the, like, compare every detail and then say that it's bad because it's missing a thing. You know, like, I feel like if we didn't have the context of the sub, we wouldn't be watching this and then be like, oh, I feel like there was a knife of ramen sized hole in the movie. You would just not know that was a thing in the original. And there are probably jokes if you went from this and then watched a sub, you'd be like, but where's that good joke that was in the dub? Anyway, even though we kind of had that philosophy where we don't think forming an opinion should be looking at a list of differences and then including it should be forming an opinion and then looking at a list of differences to add to it. Anyway, I still think it's valuable to look at.
Rereading the Demiurge translation from Crunchyroll, it was pretty simple.
I guess. It's just always kind of convoluted.
I mean, it's still confusing. It's not any, like, less confusing.
That it still will be confusing. Anyway. One thing that totally made more sense in English was Kari's looking at the TV awkwardly. Do you remember, like, the time where...
In the beginning?
Yeah, and I don't think this actually diverged in... I don't think they changed it. I think it was just hearing it in our native languages made more sense to me. It's like Kari's talking to Tai, and then she has this awkward moment where she pauses as she's looking at the TV with an ad. And I remember people just being really confused when the subversion came out, and they were like, is it because the character that's featured in the ad looks kind of like Kari? And so she's like, but it's like, I don't know, I think it just made, like, having to read subtitles, you just miss how things sound. But this time it was clear that it was like Kari had seen Kuagumon, or like seen something beforehand, before that scene. And Tai is complaining about no one coming to a soccer game, and she's about to, like, mention that she saw a digital distortion, but Tai's too bothered with a soccer game, and, like, she gets distracted. She's, like, about to say something, and then he starts talking, and he's like, I guess I won't bother him with this. I won't trouble him. Did you not get that?
I don't. That scene was still awkward to me.
Yeah, I mean, it's also not an important scene, so it doesn't really matter if it's awkward or not. Izzy's ordering at the restaurant was another scene that was like, this makes so much more sense.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I was like, oh my god, this makes tons more sense here.
I still don't really know if they changed it that much, though. I think there was an extra line or two. Like, I don't remember Izzy or Koshiro in Japanese saying three lines in French. I think there were fewer lines in French to the waiter, I think. I'm not sure.
I mean, he only does it in two spurts. Like, he does his order, and then he does, like, his parents' order.
I can't remember, but I don't think this changed too much, but just hearing it delivered and understanding what they're saying instead of having to read the text made so much sense. I think this was speculated in our podcast. I think someone brought it up when I was ranting about how it didn't make any sense and was so awkward, how it's just he's talking to Sora and he doesn't want to admit that he's at the restaurant with his parents for some reason.
But, like, I still don't get that part.
I can only reason, like, he's awkward on girls. He has a crush on Sora and, like, doesn't want to, like, reject her call. I don't know why he couldn't just, like, say order later. That's still awkward. But, like, I thought it was so much more awkward with, like, is there digital interference? There's no digital interference. It's just Izzy, Koshiro ordering in French and Sora being confused because she's hearing French and doesn't think it's him.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty clear in the original.
I don't know. I guess because there were those other confusing things, I didn't know what was, you know, like, but, like, hearing it, like, well, there's no other way to interpret this. The other things are still confusing, but didn't get mixed up with those. Oh, TK's line. I forget exactly what it is in Japanese, but when he, like...
To Matt.
Yeah, when he says, and Takeru says to Yamato, like, you'll always be my number one or something.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't know the context of the Japanese, whatever he said in Japanese, but at least the subtitle made it seem like it was, like, the super, like, flirty thing, which is, like, really funny for him to be flirting with his brother.
Yeah, it was much funnier in Japanese.
Right. In English, it was literally just, like... Yeah, well, I won't let her get between us. It was like a kind of like a Yoko Ono breaking up the band thing.
It was like, what are you doing, TK? Why'd you say that?
Yeah.
It was really awkward. It didn't come off as cutie funny.
Right. Like, I don't feel like his face was going for a cutie funny, like, he'll always be number one, wink.
Yeah.
I was also waiting for the audience to react at the idea of him calling multiple girls to cancel, but I don't think anyone picked up on that.
No, yeah.
Which is kind of sad. Oh, I think one of the first big audience laughters at things that weren't supposed to be funny was when Tai's the first ponders the destruction that Quagamon causes, and he says something like, if he keeps destroying things, then people will blame the good Digimon. And I think it's just the way he says...
I have so many feelings about the way that Tai's conflict comes off
the way that
in
they
English.
Kind of... I think because the added lines, I think they did kind of... They're going for trying to make it a little more understandable.
See, I don't feel that it was confusing in Japanese, and I don't feel that they're trying to make it more understandable in English. I thought it was much more just like... It came off as much more political to me in English, like much more overtly political. Like, oh no, they'll see the bad Muslims blow up stuff, so then they'll blame the good Muslims. And I was like... This is, but like, then the conflict is kind of like, you should sympathize with Tai, but you feel like in the movie that you shouldn't. Like, it's also very reductive still. So
I also
whatever.
Don't think the movie is telling you shouldn't sympathize with Tai. I think that, but it's also weird because that theme of like the good, I think they did totally tweak how that comes off. Like, it comes off like, really his first thought about the destruction being about like, you said a good role model is more like what happens in the second movie with Mimi being like, I need to set a good role model so people will trust the good Digimon. And I feel like that makes a lot more sense to be after the wake of the destruction that they've seen how the media reacts, that she's like, I need to set a good role model. We still have plenty of issues with that. But anyway, here it's just like, that's your first thought when as soon as destruction happens. It was weird. The line itself was too earnest. I think it was like, they'll hate all the good Digimon. And I think it's when the first time I say Digimon in the movie, people were just like, this sounds so silly.
Yeah, I guess that is weird that would be his first thought, because you, at that point, think... I mean, for the most part, he's just like, I don't want to hurt other people. Like, it's not about who they're going to blame in the Japanese, I think.
I think that is, like, one of the components of their discussion. But it's not the, like,
I think it's not the first one, though.
Yeah, I feel like this one, by making it the first one, and I think they bring it up a couple more times. I'm not 100% sure, but I think it becomes kind of the focus.
Yeah.
In a weird way. Weird, especially since it's more addressed in the second movie, in the Japanese version. It's a little strange. There were also, in addition to the audience laughing at things that were funny, at things that were not supposed to be funny, but they were also just, like, audience reacting with awe moments. And the first one of those was when Agumon talks the first time.
Okay, legit, that actually was I mean, in the Japanese, it's kind of like watching it in Japanese. For me, I was like, well, I didn't watch the sub version enough to have nostalgia feels. But hearing him in English, I was like, oh, I actually have nostalgia feels because you've been talking like you used to.
Yeah, and I mean, like, Agumon's voice... Listening to Japanese, like, enough to be, I recognize you as the Agumon voice from Adventure Japanese version, but not enough to be like, have a strong emotional attachment to that. I'm like, yes, that's right. But this is like, oh, that's right. You know, like, I'd forgotten what it sounded like, and then I was reminded of it, kind of. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's what it feels like to have you two talking to each other and stuff. I guess also that's like a totally different experience that you don't get in the Japanese version. If you like are fluent, understand, recognize the voices, have nostalgia for them, you never get the original kid voice actor speaking to the original Digimon voice actor, which we got.
Yeah, I mean, in some ways that makes more sense because they're a lot older.
Yeah, it does, in some ways. But it felt good.
But it felt okay still.
Yeah.
It did not feel wrong.
It definitely did not, like, I could see some interpretations hearing that Tai sounds like he did. Like, his voice hasn't changed much. That's like, it feels like a little kid in an adult body. It didn't feel like that at all.
It really doesn't.
No. I was worried because just hearing people talk about the first movie after it came out, subbed, everyone mentioned the moment where they're lined up with their Digimon as being the really emotional moment.
Oh, it's still so bad.
No, I was proud of the audience because they weren't like... Oh, they were like laughing at how awkward it was.
Oh, yeah.
Because it was framed super awkward. So much of this movie is framed super awkwardly. And that just becomes more apparent when there's not a language barrier and there's not you spending time reading subtitles to understand things. You know, that moment didn't have subtitles, but being fully immersed in the audio and visual, I think it's more obvious.
I mean, I definitely thought the whole between Quagamon and them like leaving that fight scene, I was like, this whole scene is just so strange and weird.
It is. I didn't write down like any differences in the dub, but like the whole like them and whether they do or do not interact with the FBI, not the FBI, you know, like the government agents. I think they did. Yes. No, I don't think it was added. It may not have been added. Cause I think Ty's lips move, but like he asks Nishijima something and then it cuts.
He's like, Nishijima, like, who are you?
I think that's actually before. I mean, maybe that is what I'm talking about. But it's still frustrating because, like, sure, we get the context. They tried to ask for information, which I think maybe in the original too. But it still frustrates me because I'm like, if you were, you wouldn't just ask once and then give up. Like, you wouldn't just like,
there's a whole car ride.
Who are you? I'm not telling you. Okay. cool. Now we're here. I don't know who he is, but like, we're here. They're like, and then they just like, they never try to find, like, they're like, we need to question him, but they don't try and find him in the field. Like when they're in that field and they're all the agents around, they go to Himekawa eventually. They're like, we need to find him, but they never try to, they don't, anyway, it's all awkward. The whole thing's awkward.
I think this time watching it, I was kind of like, okay, they were broadcasting, like some news was broadcasting the Greymon versus Kawagamon fight.
Yeah.
But then nobody ever focuses on the 8 kids that have Digimon.
Hmm.
And I guess the implication is that, like, the government agents have interfered because they are all standing around and, like, being bodyguards. But I'm like, how did that? That's not a thing. That would, like, the media would still be like, okay, I'm going to push harder to, like,
get in there. Yeah, I mean, in a lot of ways, the representation of this government agency is very similar to Hypnos and Tamers. And something they definitely spell out that Hypnos can do in Tamers, which makes no sense, is control the media and be like, pretend that make this event not happen. Which, like, I never got the vibe in this that they do, but if they are implying that's what their power is, then it's super weird that they, like, if the government agency can control what leaks to the media or whatever, or, like, make things get deleted afterhand, it's weird that then, like, there's also this conflict of them.
How the media portrays them.
Right, because, like, if they also have an ally who can kind of control that, that's kind of weird. Like, does that imply that the government agency is trying to frame them poorly? Maybe? That could be a thing. That could be
evil.
It could
be a thing, because we do think Maki is evil.
Yeah. I don't think she's evil. I have other theories.
Okay, for you.
Oh, I think the thing then, oh wait, when they're in the car ride back, Mimi asking if Izzy liked her, that was much more blunt than I remember the line in Japanese. Can't remember exactly what it was in Japanese.
I remember it being similar in Japanese.
But it was like, do you have the hots for me because I'm so foxy now or something? No, she describes Ty and Matt later as foxy. I don't think it was here. She says something about, like, I've gotten so hot.
Oh, wait, but we got to talk about the, speaking of foxy, we got to go to the dialogue when they're eating. So what do they, I mean, it's a similar discussion in Japanese, so, right?
I don't remember that discussion very well. I remember the discussion of, like, Ty and Matt. I don't remember what the Digimon talk about.
I do remember the Digimon talking about, like, who do you think is cute or something.
But so the line you're talking about is when Mimi is like, Ty and Matt have gotten so hot. Who do you like, Sora? And, or no, she says they've gotten so foxy. And then the Digimon start talking about that and
they're like, what does foxy mean?
Gatomon's like, I prefer Lynxie over foxy.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's like, what?
And then, like, one of them's like, well, this person would prefer Cheetah-E. And you're like, what?
Yeah, I think B1 says Sora would prefer Cheetah-E. I'm like, what's that even, what is that, like, this, what does that say that about what B1 thinks about? Am I missing an obvious joke? Is it, like, the color scheme of Cheetahs? Is it the, like, is there some, like, euphemistic reputation of
like, I don't,
Sora likes fast people? What? Like, is it, like, are cheetahs associated with soccer players?
I think they just wanted to name another cat.
That was so strange.
I mean, if somebody can explain the joke to me, then fine.
But jumping back, after the fight at the airport or whatever, the kids listening to the news report, I thought was much more effective having that actually be a background noise. You know, like, when we read subtitles, we hear it as background noise, but, like, the act of reading, everything is kind of active reading. And I feel like, you know, hearing it as background noise, parsing as background noise, everything just makes it feel much more like, yeah, you're in the routine and they're just hearing this stuff and you can actually parse it all. It's not prominent dialogue. There's things like that work better when they're not subtitled. You can't really get all context in subtitles. Anyway, this is my... I can't remember when this is in the movie. I really don't remember where and when it is. Oh, no, I think it's in the news report. I think I put in a random part on it, so I think it was the right point. I think it's in the news report. I don't remember this being in the Japanese, but they say, like, they talking to the Digimon, and they say, like, there were events like this in Henry Terrace and the Waterfront District or whatever, but they're much smaller in scale or something, is what they say.
Oh, yeah.
Which, like... Sure, that's true of Hypnotic Terror / Kagaoka, like the movie events. But Odaiba is literally razed to the ground. Like,
And this is before the point in the movie where Alphamon has come and destroyed more things.
Yeah, no, and like even that is like, you know, a couple, like the Ferris wheel falls down and there's like a thing through one of the like Palatown buildings or something. But like in like Venom Iotismon, there is like no buildings left. There are no buildings left. And this is kind of a spoiler for something we saw in the 5-minute preview, but really doesn't matter. They just mention New Haneda Airport, which I don't think is actually any kind of real world naming scheme. But I assume it's like Haneda was destroyed after they call it New Haneda Airport after rebuilding it, whatever, which is interesting. But like Odaiba was raised the ground and you're just like, oh yeah, 3 years later, it's fine, whatever. Everything's the same. Everything's identical. But that was smaller than this incident. Yeah. That if there's any plot hole in this dub, I think it might be that, but that's such a minor. Okay, this is actually, this is just a moment. It's not really a big decision, but it's one of the big moments. Izzy's talking through Ty and Matt's fight. That doesn't happen. This fight, then Koshiro speaking throughout the entire thing, was one of my biggest complaints about the movie in Japanese, because it just felt so not sure what they're going for. You know, it's like the second biggest dramatic moment of the movie, and it's undercut with this like absurd joke that Koshiro doesn't understand that they're having a fight. But yeah, in the dub, that is just almost completely gone. There is still a thing at the end where, so they have their like heated discussion, which involves the other characters too, which in Japanese, Koshiro is still talking then, because he's not talking. And then at the end, I think it's when Matt starts to storm off. So Matt starts to storm off, and then Ty also storms off. Izzy starts to blurt things out as they start to walk away. And it comes off much more as like trying to get them, like ignore that his parents are fighting kind of thing. You know, like he's just like ignoring them instead of just being this constant noise in the background. And it's so weird seeing it because it felt so natural. It never looked like, oh, they cut this. Like I expected Izzy's lips to keep moving in the background, but I had forgotten this is a thing. But when Koshiro was talking in the background, his lips aren't moving. In Japanese, it didn't make sense. Like all indications point to it being an audio error in Japanese.
I just don't remember you being able to see him clearly in most of those shots.
There are definitely shots where you can hear him talking and his lips just not moving for a good couple seconds. And yeah, and they cut all that. It's so much more natural. Like the shot or two where he is, his lips are flapping, they have him in this, like, interjecting things in the conversation in a totally natural way. It almost makes you wonder, we have the Blu-ray. I'm curious if anyone knows. I thought I remember hearing the Blu-ray didn't clean anything up, so that probably isn't a thing. But it honestly makes me wonder if, like, the scripts they got had that fixed or whatever. Or, you know, like, that it wasn't... Like, I don't assume this was the dubbers trying to fix an error. I think it was that they, on the Japan side, realized it was an error and passed it along. Anyway, Genai is not pronounced Genai anymore in the dub.
Genai.
That's a thing. I guess that's, like, a plot. I don't know. Whatever. That's inconsistent with how they've pronounced names before. That kind of sucks that they probably, that institutional knowledge not get passed on, but whatever. They stopped referring to Genai as a walk-in, and now, like, the subtitles refer to him as the walk-in, which is always super awkward. Because there's this, I guess, supposed to imagine this person just walked into the office and told them information, and they kept referring to him as the walk-in, but now he's the informant, which makes more sense. Still kind of weird, but Tentomon's concern over Koshiro being fashionable in the dub is now he's concerned slash proud that Izzy's buying his own clothes. Still a funny moment, a little bit tweak, but like still the gist.
Yes, yeah.
I kind of like this more though, like the humor of him being so ashamed to still be, like it was more about him wanting to get his own clothes than needing to pick out the right clothes. But yes, the big moment, Izzy said prodigious as soon as Omnimon formed.
Prodigious.
That was a...
We were all waiting for it.
Yeah. It's weird because it does feel much more in line with the original dub sensibilities, but I guess the things like catchphrases are important enough to retain. The last thing I noted... Okay. Don Don. Oh, God. Don Don is Meikumon speak, which I can forgive whoever translated that or decided to use that. Because it must have been a tough thing to translate. Just the idea of dialects... In Chris, I don't remember, in Japanese, it's saying Don Don, which is, I forget what it's called, but the dialect of the area Meiko is from means thank you. And so in Japanese, she just says Don Don, and then they're all like, huh? And then she says it means thank you. And that's tough to translate into an English context. But yeah, it's a little unfortunate. I guess it's not a major thing, but like it's a little unfortunate because it makes it seem like we joked in our Digi News episode when Gabe, who's a professional translator who doesn't know this dialect, listened to it. He thought it sounded like baby speak, Don Don. And yeah, that's kind of what it came off his ear. It's like, oh yeah, it's Meikumon speak. Because Meikumon speaks like a baby, which... is unfortunate, because in the second movie, we'll find out that she's champion level, and, or like, adult, and is supposed to be more mature, so, although in that movie, she definitely acts like the other Digimon are her senpai.
Yeah.
But, so I guess it doesn't really contradict that. She is always kind of childish.
I mean, yeah, but it's more annoying to just misrepresent culture.
Yeah, but there's no way that, I don't know. There's no way to, like, you know, like, how could you do it in any way that didn't misrepresent culture? You know, like, if you had her say, Don Don, that means thank you in my dialect. Like, you'd be like, huh? Because that's like, that's her Japanese dialect, but she's explaining this in English. Like, then the whole translation becomes so much more apparent. But in the same way that looking at Tai typing in Japanese and reading English makes the translation, it's weird. Translation's weird, especially when you can't go. In some ways, being able to, like, just say, we're going to pretend this is America, things can become more internally consistent if you go full into that direction. But as soon as you have them in Japan speaking English, things are just weird. Which is, it's not just a dub thing. Once you have, like, Code Geass and you have people who are supposed to be speaking English in Japan speaking Japanese, that those things happen there too. Okay, so now, if you haven't seen the first 5 minutes of Chapter 3, skip ahead to our next segment, to Eternal Judgment. If you have, keep listening. So, first thing, the opening is a totally different. There's no, like, opening prologue about Demir's an idea or whatever. I can't remember what it was in the second movie. Remember, there was the orphanage stuff.
Oh, yeah, it was with Liuman and Ogremon. And...
there was a monologue over, wasn't there? Yeah, there was about, like, being born and something like
that. Yeah, being born into the fire.
Yeah, something like that.
Something.
But none of that. It's just a wall of text explaining the events of the first two movies.
So bad!
is it necessary because it's been 6 months since the last one? Which, apparently, also, this movie takes place directly after, like, the events immediately following it. Like, I forget if they implied it was the next day, or if it was the same day. Because they're taking down the festival decorations. But I thought they implied it was, like, the next day. And I was like, why are they still up? Or maybe it's a couple months later.
I thought the festival was multiple days.
Oh, I guess that could be it. I guess that's the thing. Koshiro and Hikari, just break down Ken's door! Oh my god. I'm so mad about this. At this point, we were like, I was just talking out loud, and but like in the movie, because just like they're like, oh, Ichijoji Ken, like his door, he's not answering, he's not home. Nope, just break down the door.
Like, where are his parents? Why didn't his parents?
Because they don't exist. I don't know. Until the scene of them actually trying to look into him, my leading speculation was that it was the whole chain of memories thing where they've had their memories replaced and they forget the Zero Tree Kids. But maybe seeing him trigger those memories somehow? I don't know.
I think they just have little care about these children.
That was also a funny, like, seeing everyone be like, oh, it's him?
Exactly!
It's like if you watch the second movie, you'd be like, of course it's him. Like, that was funny.
Oh my god.
I still think, like, as much as it sucks to have that, like, a bunch of those events spoiled, like, I feel like it isn't enticing, like, to see this such a, like, somber, like, Mako just, like, in shock, and, like, the team kind of, like, falling apart, kind of, and, like, would be, and it's like, what happened in the second movie to get to that point, you know?
I gotta say, her name being Mako, and then Meikuman, somehow in English, is even more, like, oh, no, I don't accept this. Yeah.
I definitely found it much more confusing to parse in Japanese, because there's a confusion of, like, the way the COO in Meikuman is spelled is not how it's pronounced in both Japanese and English, how you would pronounce COO. Like, actually, I guess, and it's because it's Kun, like Maine Coon.
Yeah.
But like, if you're reading Japanese, COO would be Ko. So I was always like, is it in Japanese Meikuman? No, they're saying Meikuman, but it's officially romanized as Meikuman. But if you read like Japanese materials, it is spelled with like Ku, katakana, but then written in English as Ko, pronounced Ku. So I was always like, it makes sense. It's internally consistent, but it's confusing. Terminal Judgment, we're just going to give our final impressions of the dub of this movie. We will never touch this movie again. It's gone.
Oh, Jesus.
Until the
30th anniversary.
Until the German dub comes out, and you can discuss the German dub.
The German
dub. And then the Latin dub comes out, and I can not understand that, because we never learned how to listen to Latin in high school. So our Terminal Judgment, I don't think my opinion has shifted much. I think I'm really happy about it. It was, you know, not my favorite movie. I don't really like the movie that much. It has some moments that are really funny. I think it actually, it's weird. The moments that I think I consider my favorite in the original don't carry over to the dub very well. Like the ramen scene. I can't remember others, but I still really appreciate hearing the dub voices for the nostalgia. And I think it adds to the awkwardness to not have subtitles. And I like it overall more. And that doesn't have those moments. I like those peaks. But I still generally like Chapter 2 so much more than Chapter 1. So what's your terminal judgment?
I definitely liked this less than Washington in Japanese. It's, you know, a not good movie in either way. So yes, Chapter 2 is better.
I guess I was just really worried that this was bad, you know? And I'm like, it's good.
It's a perfectly fine dub.
Yeah, it's a good dub. I was really worried because I think this is just from Jeff Nimoy's, I think he described this when he first announced that he was in it, and then he had to delete all his posts that mentioned the story, because he wasn't supposed to announce that. But he described going in to record, and I can't remember, he mentioned the director's first name, the ADR director, and he didn't know the last name, and people with the will and stuff looked into who they were, and they've never directed anything before. I think this is the first thing they were directing, publicly or whatever. So I was like, this doesn't bode well, but it came out really great for that. And, you know, it definitely didn't seem like this. It seemed like it's directed poorly. Not that I guess you really know what bad direction sounds like. Good dub. For this episode by going to patages.com/t1.3. You can leave us feedback in the comment section on the site, or you can just let us know your thoughts on Twitter, Tumblr, Facebook, Reddit, email, With the Will, SoundCloud, YouTube, Skywriting, Foreboding Prophecies, or Color-Coded Smoke Signals.
Patages is made possible with the support from our awesome Patreon: Amanda Anjuwoman, David Grauman, Diab Joman, Jack Santa Aguman, Joe Kido, Justin Blaine Davis, Kailunaman, Kaiser Washi, Sam Fuwagaman, and Stevie Fatman.
If you want to support the show on Patreon, you can get some cool rewards, like access to a private Slack chat group for $1 a month, monthly stickers for $5 a month, and early episodes for $10 a month. Reaching our next goal will allow us to make podcast episodes about movies related to Digimon, so check out patreon.com/podiges to help us out. If you want to make a one-time donation to the podcast instead, you can PayPal us at www.paypal.me/podiges.
You can find Podiges on Twitter, Tumblr, or Facebook to keep up with the Digimons and get funny images and GIFs related to the show. If you don't like how we pronounce GIF, you can buy my pronunciation by becoming a Patreon, so you can vote on how we have to pronounce it.
You can buy a vote for the pronunciation.
You can buy my soul.
Hashtag electoral system is rigged.
It's true. Can find me on Twitter at AshMcGee00. Ha, Jeffrey, where can they find you? I didn't mess it up this time.
It's usually Andrew messes this part up. I'm Jeff and Jeff on Twitter. Our Calamon artwork is by the awesome Mary Cagle, aka Cube Watermelon, on Tumblr and Twitter.
Share the podcast with your friends who were cool enough to go see Digimon with you, and unfriend your friends who wouldn't go see the Digimon movie because they're boring.
And join us next week as we jump back to Tamers for a vacation with Akato and Dog Leomon.
Bye! Bye.
And remember, never stop Digivolving. Digimon, digital monsters, Digimon. Ultimate digital champions. Digimon, digital
monsters, Digimon. Digimon back again. I hate this movie so much.
Digimon. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do
How long do we have to do this?
The other point I had was just, why, if Tai just used the goggles on Meikumon, like, if he just looked at Meikumon with the goggles.
Goggles? Does he use them in Chapter 2?
Oh. Is he even in Chapter 2?
Tai in Chapter 2?
I actually don't remember. I mean, I know he gets Kabedon by Yamato. Now, let's make it. We were doing so well for a while there. I was just using the Japanese names. I forgot to keep, like, next week we're going to have to use the Japanese names? No.
Yeah.
Oh. Nope. That's going to be confusing. So, yeah, I don't know. Because everything seems to be pointing to Alphamon not being infected and hunting the infected Digimon. Like, that seems to, after seeing Chapter 2, that's what it's about, right? But then why Izzy says the red lines means infected and the gate that Alphamon comes through is super red liney. So that's like, I was expecting there to be some miscommunication or something, and like the thing that Tai goes to hunt down is actually Meikumon, but he thought it was Alphamon. You know, like that he saw red lines and thought it was Alphamon, was actually Meikumon. But that totally was not, like, it totally, a portal appears, there are red lines, Alphamon comes out of it. So either they've lied and like Koshiro, Izzy, his goggles aren't detecting the right thing. That might just be it. Also, another note, I mentioned the whole chain of memories thing, memory manipulation stuff, and I had totally forgotten we talked about that. Someone, I forget who, sorry, on Twitter mentioned that, like replied to one of our posts, about that, saying like, I think it might be a chain of memories situation. And I was like, this is like a week ago. I was like, that's so smart. I totally think that's right. That's like so smart. Wow, that's a great idea. And then I listened back to our Tri-Tatter 1 episode and we totally had that idea. I was like, wow. I think I had the idea too. And my memory's been erased. Boku dake ga naimachi, my brain erased.
Yeah, I got it.
Yes. Okay, we've been recording too long.
Digivolve your differences.